What's up, everyone? I'm Em.
And I'm Nick.
And welcome in to the Ominous Archives.
Another week.
Another day, another dollar.
Yeah.
Here in the archives.
Yeah, and especially, it's been a long week.
Yeah, it's been a long week and it's not even over.
Well, I mean, one more day. One more day and it's weekend.
The weekend still counts as the week.
Yeah, but you kind of, you get to relax.
The weekend still counts as the week if you work the weekend, which I do, so.
Well, yeah.
Although I do have off this Saturday, so that's nice.
Oh, look at you.
Woohoo, I get an extra day off.
There you go. I can't wait, because I'm like, all I want to do is sleep in.
Literally. Although, no matter how hard I try, I can't. Every single day, I'm scheduled. Even if I have nothing to do, my body is scheduled. I wake up at 8:30 every single day. I'll go back to sleep eventually.
Yeah.
But I wake up at 8:30 every single morning.
That's about my internal clock, 8:39.
Yeah, it's so. But I was never like that. Like, I was such a person, like, I could sleep till 1 in the afternoon if I had to. If I was allowed.
For a second there, I thought our mics were still muted.
We're just yapping.
They're not.
Yeah, we're just yapping and you guys aren't hearing us.
Nah, they could hear everything. No, yeah, I'm the same way. People are like, how do you... Because I get up at, what? My first alarm for work technically
work
goes off.
Yeah, thing is crazy.
The one goes off way early, but I never hear that one. So, we'll say the first one goes off at like 3:30.
Like, that's insane. And like, what time do you go to bed usually?
10.
That's insane.
10, I'm in bed. Like, I may have
like,
my eyes
you
closed.
Can really function on just like five to six hours of sleep, for real.
We're hosting a podcast. I got two dogs and a kid.
A baby.
I'm figuring it out.
Yeah, you're doing it all. You're doing better than I am.
You know. Everybody's got their own thing.
Well, lucky for you, you didn't have to research this week. That was my job.
Yeah. Well, and you had the 2 weeks, because we didn't do anything last week.
True.
Because I left for a bachelor party.
Yeah, and Nick took a break on us
took
last week.
Took a break. Went on vacation.
How nice for him.
Yeah, Dewey, Delaware. Woo!
You catch some fish?
Oh, we caught some fish.
There you go.
We caught 36 fish.
Altogether? Like all
together.
Guys?
All of us guys.
For you guys.
Dude,
that's a successful fishing trip.
Those captains knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
They literally were like...
Well, their job.
Yeah.
To know.
I mean, but they call it fishing, not catching.
Yeah, true.
So, like, you don't go into it with the expectation of, like, we're going to pull in 36 fish.
I hate fishing. I have no patience at all.
I'm the same way. Hence why my brother-in-law goes out and fishes without me.
Yeah.
Because I'm the guy who will start trying to catch the minnows with the hook on the
Seriously,
side of the...
Seriously, I'm I need to catch something or this is unsatisfactory for me.
But this captain was literally like, all right, guys, drop lines now.
Yeah.
And we would drop lines, and, I mean, our lines wouldn't even be fully out yet.
Right.
And we were pulling them back in, and you were just like, this is wild.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I think there was 11 of us, and I think we each caught about 3 fish.
Good for you guys.
Right?
Hell yeah.
It was insane. And we caught, like, throwaways. Like, the 36 were keepers.
Right.
Not including the ones that we threw back.
Yeah.
I think I caught, like, sea robins that were, like, this big.
Yeah.
And they were, like, wild. They put up the biggest fight, and I was like, this is crazy. The sea bass, not sea robin.
Oh, well. Nick had a successful off week.
Yeah, it was pretty solid. But now we're back.
Now we're back in the archives for another episode
this week.
Lucky for you guys, I can't believe I'm about to say this. It's an M-clusive.
Whoa.
Can you believe this?
Woo, M-clusive.
All right, in today's archive, I am going to be covering an event that I didn't even know happened until I came across it in Nick's Unsolved Mysteries book. By Joel Levy. Have to give him the shout out.
And you say, I did not write that.
No, you didn't write the damn book. But
you said it was my book.
Well, it's your book that I stole for my research purposes. So I gave you credit for buying the book. I'm giving Joel Levy credit for writing the book.
Okay. All right.
I feel like I have to give him credit.
I have a lot of missing books from you.
Yeah. Two.
I was going to say, a whole whopping two.
A whole whopping two. Okay. And they're doing me just fine. Thank you.
Yeah.
So what could possibly drive 3 experienced lightkeepers to abandon their posts on a remote island in the Outer Hebrides in the peak of winter? We're going to try to find out today as I'm covering the mysterious disappearance of the Eileen Moore Lighthouse Keepers.
So are we going to solve it today or are you just going to leave us a mystery?
We're going to certainly try.
We're going to Scooby-Doo this thing?
We're going to put our thinking caps on and try to figure out what the heck happened here.
Good luck.
I'm going to set the scene for you.
Set this scene.
It is the 26th of December in 1900. A small ship was making its way to the Flannan Islands on the remote Outer Hebrides. Its destination was the lighthouse at Eileen Moor, a remote island which, apart from its lighthouse keepers, was completely uninhabited. Although uninhabited, the island has always sparked people's interests. It is named after St. Flannan, a 6th century Irish bishop who later became a saint. He built a chapel on the island, and for centuries, shepherds used to bring over sheep to the island to graze, but would never stay the night, fearful of the spirits believed to haunt that remote spot.
So they don't even know why there's spirits there to haunt. They just know there's spirits there haunting.
They got a vibe. They caught a vibe. A man named Captain James Harvey was in charge of the ship, which was also carrying a man named Joseph Moore, who was a replacement lighthouse keeper. As the ship reached the landing platform, Captain Harvey was surprised not to see anyone waiting for their arrival. He blew his horn and sent up a warning flare to attract attention. There was no response. Joseph Moore then rowed ashore and went up the steep set of stairs that led up to the lighthouse. According to reports from Moore himself, he says he suffered an overwhelming sense of dread on his long walk up the top of the cliff. Once at the lighthouse, Moore noticed immediately that something was wrong, and things were already starting to not make sense. The door to the lighthouse was unlocked, and in the entrance hall, two of the three oil-skinned coats were missing. Moore continued on to the kitchen area, where he found half-eaten food and an overturned chair, almost as if someone had jumped from their seat in a hurry. To add to this particular scene, the kitchen clock had also stopped.
So it was like the battery died.
I don't know, something.
Yeah. Also, do you know what the oil-slick skin is?
No, I have no clue.
It's like the yellow raincoat.
I think I just assumed that's what it was. Like, yeah. I was picturing a raincoat type thing. All right, there we go.
For those who did not know.
Thank you, Nick.
Look at me. I know things, occasionally.
Moore continued to search the rest of the lighthouse, but found no sign of the lighthouse keepers. He ran back to the ship to inform Captain Harvey, who subsequently ordered a search of the islands for the missing men. No one was found.
Alien abduction.
Harvey quickly sent back a telegram to the mainland, which in turn was forwarded to the Northern Lighthouse Board headquarters in Edinburgh. The telegraph read, "A dreadful accident has happened at Flannan's. The three keepers, James Ducant, Thomas Marshall, and Donald MacArthur, have disappeared from the island. On our arrival there this afternoon, no sign of life was to be seen on the island. Fired a rocket, but as no response was made, managed to land. Moore, who went up to the station but found no keepers there, the locks were stopped and other signs indicated that the accident must have happened about a week ago. Poor fellows, they must have been blown over the cliff or drowned by trying to secure a crane or something like that. Night coming on, we could not wait to make something as to their fate. I've left Moore, MacDonald, Boyomaster, and the two seamen on the island to keep the light burning until you make other arrangements. Will not return to Oban until I hear from you. I have repeated this wire to Muirhead. In case you are not at home, I will remain at the telegraph office tonight until it closes if you wish to wire me." I know that was like a whole lot, but I feel like I have to give you the whole, you know. A few days later, Robert Muirhead, who was the board's superintendent, who both recruited and knew all three men personally, left for the island to investigate the disappearances. His investigation of the lighthouse found nothing that Moore had not already reported. That is, except for the lighthouse's log. Robert immediately noticed that the last few days of entries were unusual. On the 12th of December, Thomas Marshall, the second assistant, wrote of severe winds, the likes of which I have never seen before in 20 years. He also noted that James Ducant, the principal keeper, had been, quote, very quiet, and the third assistant, William MacArthur, had been crying. What's so strange about the final statement was that William MacArthur was a seasoned lighthouse keeper, was known on the Scottish mainland to be tough as nails. Why would this grown, experienced man be crying about a storm?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a little odd.
And I mean, they're lighthouse keepers. They're
right. They're used to it. Right. Log entries on the 13th of December stated that the storm was still raging and that all three men had been praying. But why would three experienced lighthouse keepers, safely situated on a brand new lighthouse that was 150 feet above sea level, be praying for a storm to stop? They should have been perfectly fine, perfectly safe.
There was something in that storm.
Right. Even more peculiar is that there was no reported storms in the area on the 12th, 13th, or 14th of December. In fact, the weather was calm, and the storms that were to come to the island didn't hit until December the 17th. So, like, there's no way that they even, like, got the dates wrong either. And even if they did, like, they would have had to be 4 or 5 days off.
Yeah.
So, what? Like, what do you mean?
This isn't that... I'm trying to think. I think I heard of a lighthouse where you can see it from the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if there was a storm going on there, you could... From the mainland, you could see it. And everybody was like, we didn't see it.
Right,
it was like, the weather was clear. There was nothing.
Huh.
I don't know if it's that one or not.
The final log entry was made on the 15th of December. It simply read, storm ended, sea calm, God is over all.
That's eerie.
What the heck was meant by God is over all? Right,
eerie.
Like, that's so eerie. So, after reading those logs, Murrahead's attention turned to the remaining oilskin coat that had been left in the entrance hall. Because remember, there was one left.
Mm-hmm.
There's two were gone. Why, in the bitter cold winter, had one of the lighthouse keepers left without his coat? And why had all three lighthouse staff left their posts at the same time in the first place when every single rule about being a lighthouse keeper strictly prohibit that?
Somebody has to stay to light the lamp.
That's literally... You have one job, like, not that they have one job, but, like, you have one main important job, and that's, like, strictly, you gotta follow that one.
Yeah.
Further clues were found down by the landing platform. Here is where Murrahead noticed ropes were strewn all over the rocks, ropes which were usually held in a brown crate 50 feet above the platform on a supply crane. Perhaps the crate had been dislodged and knocked down, and the lighthouse keepers were attempting to retrieve them, when an unexpected wave came and washed them out to sea. This was the first and most likely theory, and as such, Murrahead included it in his official report to the Northern Lighthouse Board. But this explanation left some people in the Northern Lighthouse Board unconvinced. And honestly, me too. I'm not buying that. Like, it was so important that they had to go out in this. All three of them had to leave the post to go figure this out.
And how would they even know that the ropes fell over?
Right. Right. What if it was the storm that just, like, knocked it over, but, like,
yeah,
the storm that didn't happen?
You just verified
right,
it,
like,
you wanted him.
Right. For one, why had none of the bodies been washed ashore? Why had one of the men left the lighthouse without taking his coat? Especially since this was December, like, mid-December. How had three experienced lighthouse keepers been taken unaware by a wave? The most persistent question was around the weather conditions at the time. The seas should have been calm. They were sure of this, as the lighthouse could be seen from the nearby Isle of the Lewis, and any bad weather would have obscured it from view.
Boom. See?
He just had to give me a second to get
there. Yeah.
So, ultimately, the Northern Lighthouse Board concluded that the men likely left the lighthouse in bad weather to secure gear or check damage and were swept into sea by a large roller. That's what they decided.
Mm-hmm.
Over the following decades, subsequent lighthouse keepers at Aileenmore have reported strange voices in the wind calling out the names of the three dead men. Many theories have been proposed to explain the disappearance because the general public did not agree with the Northern Lighthouse Board's conclusion. And so now I'm just going to kind of rapid fire some of the theories that I found.
Mm-hmm.
Some people believe the men just fell to their deaths from the cliffs after a fight. They think that they all just got into a big scruffle and just push each other off the cliffs.
It's a big wrestling match.
I find that one highly unlikely.
Yeah.
Some people actually believe there was something supernatural going on, and a ghost ship known as the Phantom of the Seven Hunters lured the men to their deaths. Or a giant seabird carried the men away.
Like a pterodactyl.
Yeah.
Rah!
Just came down, carried them away.
If you can hear the heavy breathing,
that would be the dog. Antiquarian and UFO guru John Mitchell developed an elaborate theory based on Martin's writings.
Told you it was aliens.
Suggesting that Aileenmore was the home of the fairies or little folk.
Dude, fairies are insane.
Insane. We could do an entire episode.
Have you seen the Bluey episode of Fairies?
No.
They have a Bluey episode called Fairies.
Do they?
Yeah.
No, I haven't
seen it. It's not as intense as the ones that we're going to
cover. I love Bluey. Love Bluey.
Yeah.
To whom human sacrifices were ritually offered. By shipping the men to the island and shutting them up in a tower, the theory went, the ancient ritual had unwittingly been revived, opening a portal for the eldritch beings to claim their latest sacrificial victims.
Mm.
Crazy.
Or did somebody play with a Ouija board and not close it properly?
Here we go with the goddamn Ouija board theory. If Nick doesn't have, like, a solid answer for something, he literally just chalks it up to somebody played with a Ouija board and didn't close it properly, and that's what it is.
Tell me it doesn't work.
It works for almost literally everything. I'm not saying it doesn't.
It fits. If it fits, I go with it.
An even better theory was invented by children's book author Carrie Miller, who wrote, an unseen force on the island of Eileen Moore would not tolerate intruders and got rid of them. They say that when Joseph Moore flung open the door of the lighthouse and called out the names of the three missing men, three enormous blackbirds that have never ever been seen before launched themselves from the top of the tower and flew out to sea. So, their theory is that the men turned into birds.
They're animingi?
And flew animingi? Away. Yeah. Maybe they're skinwalkers and they're just shape-shifting.
Maybe.
There is also the theory, which I think this one's pretty interesting, that the men simply planned it all and arranged for a ship to take them away and to start new lives.
No, that's probably the what you want. Like, that's like the best bet. At least they're okay.
Right. But like, you'd have to convince all three of them would have to be convinced enough to go through with this entire plan.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the whole two of the oil skins being missing and like the one still being there, the uneaten food, like the half finished food,
yeah,
and the clock being stopped at a specific, like there's just so many like weird like happenstances here. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then lastly, some people over the years theorized that foreign spies abducted the men.
There you go.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Why not?
You are a lighthouse keeper. You're coming with us.
Yeah. There is actually a movie called The Vanishing that came out in 2018 that is based on the disappearance of the three lighthouse keepers, which is why I'm surprised that I had never heard about this story until coming across it in our book. It was based on the 1900 disappearance of the Flannan Isles lighthouse keepers. It stars Gerard Butler, Peter Milan, and Connor Swindles as the three lighthouse keepers, whose shift take a dark turn. The Vanishing premiered at the Film Festival in October of 2018, which was followed by a United Kingdom release in March of 2019.
Hmm.
I feel as though I should watch this movie.
Yeah.
Maybe they have some other theories that I don't have, but I feel like I covered literally every single theory there is.
It's going to be like a movie.
Right.
So I wouldn't say it's more of like a documentary.
Yeah.
They probably just disappeared at one point. They just fade away.
I wonder how they explain it. Like, I wonder if they give an explanation as to
what they think their theory is.
Right. Like, what the heck? Like, I feel like that's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, if they all got a boat and everything, it's staged well.
Yeah, right.
But like you said, what doesn't make sense is the one. To me, it seems like maybe the other two had to go out and do something.
Right.
Maybe repair the thing. And then the third guy went out without one.
But like, I don't know. You wouldn't find, like, their bodies, like, eventually. Like, and I'm sure people looked. Like, I'm sure, like, they were searched for. They were searched for, actually. It's not like I'm sure people. I know people searched for them. I don't know. I think the craziest theory is the one about the ghost ship. A ghost ship came and just abducted them.
Yeah.
Which would be absolutely crazy. Like, I feel as though that we could do an episode on ghost ships in themselves.
Yeah. Well, what's the ghost ship in SpongeBob?
The Flying Dutchman.
Flying Dutchman. Yeah, that's apparently a real ghost ship.
Oh, yeah, and it's, like, based off, like, they based it off of a real ghost ship.
Yeah.
I think that's sick.
Yep.
Yeah, you heard it here first. We're going to do a ghost ship episode.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's really all I have on these men and their disappearance from their lighthouse post.
Well, I think it's either a Ouija board portal, aliens, a rogue wave, a storm that maybe actually did happen and nobody saw.
That's the other thing. What do you mean nobody saw this storm? Like, that's crazy.
Maybe. Here you go. I'm just going to put this theory out there.
Here we go.
A big guy showed up, knocked the door down, told them they were wizards.
Told them they were wizards.
They changed into Animine guy, right into the birds.
Yep.
Flew to the Wizarding World.
Flew to Harry Potter World.
Boom.
And that is that.
Boom.
I can't with you. I like it.
Done. I think it's the best theory there is.
Yeah.
Make a movie on it.
They're making a remake.
Not of that. J.K. Rowling owns that one. This one's ours.
She's got the rights to that one. We're going to copyright this one right now.
Yeah.
That's our story.
That's our story, and
we're sticking to it. All right,
I guess that's all I got. Oh, guys, if you like the episodes, please rate, review,
like,
yeah, it helps us to get out there.
Tell your friends.
Yeah, any platform that you guys listen on,
yes,
just give us a rating. We prefer 5 stars. We'll take any kind of star.
It'd be nice.
Yeah. You know? But it just helps us out, helps us reach more people. If you have a friend who's into the cryptid and spooky, let them know. Let them give us a listen. You can also go follow us on our social medias at the Ominous Archives for was it Instagram, X,
TikTok,
YouTube.
There you go.
Is it? Oh yeah, because we don't do Facebook.
Who uses Facebook besides moms and grandparents to post pictures of their grandkids?
Comment if you guys want us to make a Facebook group.
If you really we'll make a Facebook group for you guys.
So you guys can all share stories and stuff. If you have a story you want to share with us, email us at ominousarchives@gmail.com. We look forward to them. We love reading them. We'd love to put a listeners episode together of stories for you. Just in time, Arch. We're saying goodbye.
Archie, we're saying goodbye. You get
Archie
to
decided to come down as we say goodbye. But also, don't forget to come back next week as we dive into more strange and haunted stories in the Ominous Archives. See ya.
See ya.